Hump Day.
Hump Day!
I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more that what that Camel Wednesday Hump Day is what it is.
John Cleveland! Have you refreshed Twitter? Have you refreshed the web homepage?
Or what
ESPN,
quarterback news
CBS, or NFL.com, Fox Sports.com, MSNBC.com, you name it. Any news?
Words of wisdom.
It's
all the ladies,
peace and healthiness forever. It's today.
It does not look like it. Okay. You want to know why it doesn't look like it, Gus?
Why is that?
Well, it looks like there's a little, there's a stall in the quarterback carousel.
There's a stall in the quarterback carousel, huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean there's a stall? What does a stall mean in the quarterback carousel?
Stuck in the mud.
How's it stuck in the mud?
The Jets won't make any moves anytime soon, and the Texans haven't been willing to discuss holding Deshaun Watson hostage.
So what?
There may be a bit of a lull overall.
Well, you have to wait till March anyway for free agency.
Well, it doesn't look like there's going to be any quarterback moves today. Or trades.
Here's what he said.
Yeah, spinning the quarterback carousel is something we're going to be doing basically every day from now until probably the draft, at least. And, you know, Andrew, trying to figure out who the next quarterback is going to be traded. Really, the better question is a quarterback going to be traded anytime soon? It looked like this was spinning and going fast. And now it seems, from talking to the teams involved, the teams who still need a quarterback and some of the teams who may end up trading a quarterback, everyone seems pretty stuck right now, and here are the reasons why. The Jets are not going to make a decision on Sam Darnold until at least they complete their quarterback evaluations. That is not going to happen at least until April, so you got time there. When teams have called the Houston Texans on Deshaun Watson about trading, and not just trading for Watson, trading for anyone, what they've been told essentially is no on Watson, but could talk about potentially a lot of other players, but no on Watson. Marcus Mariota had an active trade market as of last week. Sounds like that has dried up for a couple different reasons. Teddy Bridgewater, who I know the Panthers have gotten some calls, that is nowhere now. It seems everyone is kind of stuck waiting for the next shoe to drop, and I don't get the sense it's anytime soon.
What?
Get the carousel mechanic out there. What's going on? Can't be stuck.
Poor Teddy. Teddy thought he had his opportunity. Panthers, I mean, they're not even hiding it, huh? Like, they're not even DMing it. They're just posting it on Facebook.
Wonder if Teddy, you still up?
I mean, no, yeah, it's not even that. No, they're not even new. It's just flat out.
You awake?
No, it's you past. It's past
you awake,
that.
Babe? Mm-mm. Not going to make me an offer?
I'm single. I mean, seriously. They signed the guy to 3 years, and they basically have been the team with anybody or anybody that it wants to be. Yes, we want to trade up. We want Stafford. We'll take Goff. Who wants anybody? That's unbelievable. You ready to give a 40-year-old a contract extension? 40-something-year-old? No, I don't mean Drew Brees. Tom Brady? Extension?
If Tom Brady gets a contract extension, which I must say, based on the people I've spoken with, sounds like probably should happen. Brady would probably get either a 1 or 2 year extension, which would do a couple things. Would open up the salary cap for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to do things like franchise tag Chris Godwin and pay Shaq Barrett, two things that they want to do very badly this offseason. It would also lock in Brady for another year, and based on the way he played this year, doesn't look like he's slowing down. Part of the reason to do this, Andrew, is Tom Brady earned significant incentives this past year on his contract. Instead of just $25 million, he made $28-plus million. Because those incentives were earned, they now would be considered incentives that are likely to be earned according to the salary cap, so they would count a little differently, changing up his incentives on the back end of his 2021 contract at least would free up some cap space. Expect them to do a little more. An extension makes sense for all sides for Brady and the Bucs.
How'd you like to win so many and go to so many Super Bowls that in your contract, it's likely that you would reach those incentives? Those are likely incentives. You're shaking your head. I mean, isn't that something? Likely incentives. You know, most normal NFL players, you know, catch a ball. Likely incentives. That receiver. Catch 10 balls. Likely incentive. Alvin Kamara, likely to run for 5 touchdowns. Tom Brady, likely to reach and win the Super Bowl.
In both years.
That's incredible. So he's not going anywhere. I think he was saying, and I played that because I saw some people kind of reacting. Oh, how long is he going to play? It's basically what the Saints were doing with Breeze and what they probably will do with some players here as well to try to extend them, which is why, as I was talking to Larry yesterday, it probably behooves them, Larry Holder, the Athletic, to, you know, extend Ramczyk, extend Lattimore, give those contract extensions now, because then you can basically have them play for the minimum this year, give them some cash up front, and then spread out their salaries and stuff later on to kind of help you right now this year to get under the cap. So all of that is something we're keeping an eye on. It's just what we have to do every day, Jordan, every hour, top of the hour, and any news. And do we have any tweets, anything new from Drew than hawking the copper sleeve?
Let me see.
Nope, it is still last tweet.
Okay.
Yep, 22nd. There he is. Be honest, when you saw just quickly and you saw a football in his hand, tongue out.
Yeah, no.
I'm saying the second the tweet popped up, he's coming back.
No, because I think it would have been something different.
You think it's something different? You think a let's run it back picture is not him holding a football?
No.
Looking to throw downfield?
No. Because he's not in any Saints. He's not in any Saints equipment.
Well, he's working out.
He is working out. Do you see? Wait, you see what's in the background?
Yeah, I did notice something else. I know those are the little
ladders.
Yeah, no, he's working out. Did you notice the photos? Because Tiger was going to go see him yesterday, and Justin Herbert, part of their charity golf thing and instructional videos and stuff. Did you see him with the golf club?
True.
Yeah. Just saying. I mean, it's an observation, Jordan. If you were still suffering from rib injuries or things of that nature, kind of hard to swing a golf club.
Hey, rule of the day, am I right, with Smoothie King?
I'm just saying. I mean,
it's full of ads.
Kind of tells me that his back's feeling just fine. His ribs have healed. He's healthy, Jordan. If you're out there swinging a club. He's coming back. Isn't he? He wants to so bad. I need more time, coach. I need more time. Uptown Ruler, what you got for us, man?
Hey, man, look, I think Jameis Winston going to be your quarterback. And not because he threw that beautiful touchdown against Tampa Bay. He wants to beat Tampa Bay.
Okay.
He want to prove that he's a good quarterback. And I think he's going to come back and start throwing the ball and start throwing touchdowns and running for touchdowns. Because remember, he's still young. Drew Brees is up there, okay? I don't think Drew Brees is going to come back. I think he already told Jameis Winston, this is your team. So I think Jameis Winston is going to be your quarterback. Taysom Hill going to do his role like he normally do. And they're going to draft a third quarterback. I can't say where, but they're going to draft a quarterback.
Hmm. Yeah. Look,
I made that prediction with y'all last year that Jameis Winston was going to be your quarterback. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
I mean, he can throw the ball downfield. Drew Brees can't throw the ball downfield. Taysom Hill, he can throw the ball downfield, but his balls, they stay in the air too long.
Okay? A little flat.
But I think Jameis Winston got the quarterback, got the number one quarterback spot. Now, what we're going to do at defensive end and what we're going to do because we got to tighten up on these things. Because I don't like what I seen last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Tampa Bay beat us, but we let Tampa Bay beat us for one reason. The tight end, he fumbles the ball.
Oh no, Jared Cook, huh? Jared Cook's fault.
Yes, we was going in by 14 points.
You know what the Saints did a few days ago also uptown?
You got to look at what?
So they tweeted out a highlight of Jared Cook overall season a few days ago, and you should have seen the comments. The comments were absolutely amazing, just absolutely roasting Jared Cook and calling him all types of names.
Really a shame. So you think he's coming back?
Well, you know what the deal is? This is why Jared Cook is going to be cut. I think he's going to be cut this year. I don't know what team's going to pick him up, but he's fumbleitis. He can't take a hit. And the coaches tell you, you're going to get hit. Hold on to the ball. Man. Okay? That goes for Taysom Hill, too. Because when he get hit, he fumbles the ball. So he needs, they need, I don't know what they're going to do about the hits on the field. I don't know what they're going to do about them getting hit. But they need to hold on to the ball. If you hold on to the ball, you win the game. You win the Super Bowl. Well, you go to the Super Bowl.
You could have been up by 10 points, if not 14, for sure. And Jordan scrolling through the comments, including a cartoon character and Looney Tunes pointing a gun at his face and shooting himself. That's not funny. Tone deaf. Let's see. Nah, delete this.
The very first one is Play of the Year by the GOAT, Jared Cook.
Yeah.
And it's by a Tampa Bay fan account.
Imagine that.
I think that's what turned the game around when he fumbled the ball, when Jared Cook fumbled the ball. Yes, and Tampa Bay just took over the game after that. Because it's not fair that the other players can hold on to the ball. And Jared Cook, you cannot hold on to the ball and run, and you cannot hold on to the ball. All you have to do is fall down and give yourself up. You don't have to run all the way down the field.
Just run
for the yardage and fall down. Give yourself up.
Hey, this is one comment. Everyone's saying they should delete this post, meaning the Saints. I want to see them delete his roster spot.
I will say, you can hear in the in the tone of a one uptown ruler, it sounds like it was last night that took place. I mean, it's still fresh in your mind, isn't it?
Yes. And I'll say it this way: they should draft a tight end. Don't go for a pro tight end, a tight end that plays with everybody else, because you got good tight end coaches, you got good receiver coaches on the team. And, you know, and I think you're going to get Mike Nolan back as a linebacker, so if you don't have him back now.
All right, Uptown Ruler. Good talking to you, buddy. Got to hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little college baseball. Brad Topham, Raging Cajun color analyst, joins us next. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Pretty soon we realize we're earthly
bound. Men, no matter what size she wears, there always comes a day when she says,
"It would definitely be okay if these diamond stud earrings were a little bit bigger."
Thousands of women own a pair of Ramsey's diamond studs.
When your diamond stud earrings come from Ramsey's,
you always get 100% of the current value
when you trade up for a larger pair.
Find her Ramsey's diamond studs and bring them to us.
You'll pay only the difference when you trade up for bigger ones.
If she doesn't have a pair of Ramsey's stud earrings,
you need to fix that.
We have them for as little as $299.
And Ramsey's diamond stud earrings are cut to glitter in the dark.
We're going
to
package her new diamonds in a fabulous presentation box
and gift wrap it so gorgeously that everyone will take photos
before she even opens it.
And after she opens it,
you the man.
The largest diamond store in Louisiana is Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Oh yeah, where else can you go and you just feel like this is the place I need to buy my new vehicle? Golden Motors, your Chevy, Buick, and nearly new pre-owned and any maker model dealership. For 65 plus years, we've been serving Lafourche, Terrebonne, and surrounding parishes. We want you to be satisfied, and that's why Process Priority is our slogan. Golden Motors is like no other dealership. We take pride in doing everything we can to help our customers. Definitely worth the drive down to Golden Motors. Visit us 24 hours a day at goldenmotors.com or call us at 985-325-1000. Chevy, find new roads.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807. Highway 311 in Houma.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Pretty interesting baseball game coming up in a little bit over there, Lafayette. The Cajuns taking on LSU. Tigers 2-1 after a win against Louisiana Tech. UL now 3-1. Brad Topham joins us, color analyst for the Cajuns, to kind of discuss and preview UL side of things as they've had a nice start to the season. Brad, thanks for joining us this afternoon. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
A nice win again last night to get win number 3. And really a nice start over the weekend, taking 2 of 3 from Tulane. All three games, let's just start there, going in extra innings there. I guess, what did it mean to be able to come out, you know, victorious series-wise?
Well, first of all, just the fact that we're able to play baseball and go back to a field. When I left Pensacola from a tournament last year with Cajun baseball, I was expecting, like everybody else, to have a normal year. So I'm just thrilled we're back at it and playing at Turchin Stadium. Man, Tulane's good. Olthoff and the way Coach Jewett has those guys playing, mm-hmm. It meant a lot to get wins. And to be fair, we could have swept, and we could have got swept. It was a very close series, but there's a little bit of grit to these guys early on. They're taking on the coach's personality that he wants, and it's starting to show up.
You know, Brad, obviously, look, I always bring this up every year. It kind of seems, especially in this state, the teams and the baseball in this state are so good. And you've had representations, not just LSU, but the Cajuns, Tulane, at some point in time, going to the CWS and, you know, being teams that have consistently been in postseason play and in regionals. So what's the expectation level this year for UL in terms of trying to get back to that point where, look, they're going to be in regionals or even hosting them?
Well, those of us that know the personnel well, there's mm-hmm. a lot of excitement because the depth of the pitching staff, I've never seen pitchers like this before. I've never seen a coach use 12 guys on a weekend on purpose and hold out a guy like Spencer Arrighetti, who had a no-hitter into the 7th last night, and he didn't even pitch him this weekend. So that's why, for me, the expectation is high, because, as you know, man, if you can play defense and pitch it well, you have a shot all year long, and you can withstand the injuries and the ups and downs of certain players. Mm-hmm. So for me, the expectations are actually pretty high because you have the ability to pitch it, and that always gives you a chance.
2-0, the final yesterday against Louisiana Tech, as UL, the Raging Cajuns, now 3-1 on the season, will take on LSU tonight. Look, let's kind of break down the team a little bit here, and I see one of the things in the game notes as you're getting ready for yesterday and today is you guys have been able to really, I guess, make some hay on the bases. What, 8-for-8 against Tulane?
Did well against Tulane, did horrible last night.
That's how it goes, right?
Got kicked three times. So the one thing, this is how I personally say to people about Coach Deck. There's going to be 5 games where we get run out of the game by being too aggressive. And he's going to run you into 15 games where you're going to be in games you shouldn't be or blow people out because we're going to be aggressive. Coach Deck, and if you ever watch him, you can tell if you get picked, hey, if he gives you first movement, and they did it last night. One time we went first movement, and the guy did a double take on us, and he got it.
Okay.
And it just is what it is. And Coach Deggs, the reason I like him is, if you fail full speed, I don't care. This isn't the social media world. We're not going to blow up because something didn't go our way. He'll just give them a little dap, won't say a word to them. They go on about their business. You can tell. When there was one moment we got picked off, he really didn't do anything to the players. They ran by him. That kind of tell me, okay, there was nothing going on and we fell asleep there. But, yeah, we're going to be aggressive, and that's something Coach Deggs does. He likes it. The biggest misnomer about a guy like Dex and his hitting system that people don't understand is the year we were ranked number 1 and lost in the Super Regional to Ole Miss, we led the nation in bunt singles. You hit 75 home runs, but you had over 50 bunt singles. That is a staple of Coach Dex's offense. We had a guy last night drag for a hit on 1-2. And I was, again, I have to check the scoreboard because it doesn't seem right that it did it. But he will. And he's got an aggressive style. And I think he's got, you got to recruit the right kids, if you know what I mean. Not all kids are built to be really aggressive guys because sometimes they get out of control. It looks like he's got the right mix to do that with.
Speaking of Brad Topham, he's the color analyst for the Cajuns baseball team. And, you know, that's what I was going to ask you, if that's part of their DNA, if that's continued to do that. I know, look, that puts a lot of stress, right? It puts stress on an infield, puts stress on catchers. And you look at a game like today over with LSU, you got a couple of, you know, for, I would say, new starters in that infield. But I guess as a catcher, knowing, hey, if you get a walk or if they get a hit, there's going to be a play at second.
Yeah, and, you know, I caught at UL. My senior year was under Coach Rowe, played with some great guys like Paul Bacco, who made it to the show for a while. And the biggest thing you learn, honestly, it's more to me on the pitchers. Mm-hmm. So ball in the dirt, if you're aggressive, that's on the catcher. But if your pitchers are slow to the plate or they don't do a good job of mixing up their look and guys are getting good jumps, there's nothing you can do. Half the stolen bases against Tulane, the catcher could have held the ball. He had no chance. Mm-hmm. So that's the pressure. And the way the game has evolved, if you got, like, you're going to have a guy on the mound tonight, 6'5", 190, I've never seen him. But I'm willing to bet when he needs a strike, he can lift that leg and he can turn it loose. Well, that makes him a little bit slow. And if he's going to do that, your catcher doesn't have much of a chance, and it puts immense pressure on him. In fact, because of that, we stole a run in extra innings on a throw in the left field because we stole third with two outs.
Right.
And the catcher wasn't ready for it. Big leg kick. He rushed the throw, palmed it. Ball sails off into the five hole. We score easily. So you are right that it does. The catch question is, I don't know who's going to catch tonight with it being the five-game week, and we're going right back in the three-game set with Rice. We have a young man transferred in named Drake Osborne. He's a graduate transfer. Going into the 19 season, he was on the Buster Posey watch list and struggled offensively. He's from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And look, he's been on fire. He had a bad 0 for first night, and since then he was 4 for 6, and I think last night he was 2 for 4. He's throwing people out. He's blocking well. He's commanding the pitchers well. But you may not see him. We have two other catchers, and I'm not sure what direction coach is going to go, but he's definitely our number one, and he looks really good. But, again, it's to me the base stealing is going to be on the pitching staff. And Tulane, to be honest, a lot of really tall guys, a lot of hard throwers, and they just weren't that quick to the plate.
Interesting enough to pick those things up and get some tidbits. Brad Topham covers the Cajuns, color analyst on their broadcast when it comes to baseball out. Look, tonight I think one of the, maybe it's just me. I'm being silly, but not, because there's a lot of, good noise, right? When it comes to two young freshmen who I just think have great baseball names. Dylan Cruz for LSU, lots of talk about him. But I see you guys have a freshman. I just love the name. Carson, is it Rocaforte?
Yes, Carson Rocaforte.
Rocaforte, that's a great name. I love it, man.
Dude, we're terrible in baseball. We got two Fitzgeralds. So I said, okay, who's the 50? Well, that's 50. That one's Grizzly because he looks like Turner from the Dodgers. So Rocaforte, it's easy. It's Rocco. You know, we're so easy with these names. But, yeah, he's tough. You know, unfortunately, you won't get to see the freshman that, because of COVID, this kid's here. He should not be here. Coach Deggs threw out a freshman opening day on the road, true freshman. The kid sat 94 to 96 for five innings, so they told him, and threw mostly fastballs. Look, we got reports he touched 98 at a private tryout for the Red Sox at Fenway. But because of the shortened draft, he ends up in college. A kid named Hayden Dirk out of Leroy.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate to see him. But, listen, I watched Dell play Tech. I know about – look, I grew up – my dad had season tickets behind the dugout until he could not physically go to games anymore. We were sitting – I stared down at the umpires at Alex Fox walking in and out for years. So I've always followed LSU baseball. You know, always had a love for it. I'm not one of those that has to hate one to love the other. Never been. So I'm excited about Cruz because I heard Paul talk so much about him. And then I look at the body on a kid that young and then see him. Because to be honest, when Alex Bregman rolled in, the numbers didn't match the frame.
Right.
With Dylan Cruz, his numbers matched the frame. And I watched him swing against Tech. I'm excited to see him in person because that is a good-looking kid.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, man. You bring it up, too. One of the interesting aspects, I was just playing Mike Breen, play-by-play, that does the NBA for ESPN and ABC, and he was like, we're trying to figure out the NBA season. Everything's sort of different. Look, You mentioned it when we first started talking. It's nice to actually have baseball. It's nice to actually have sports, but it is a bit different. We had Paul Maneri on last week, and it was like, look, all these teams are stacked and loaded, and everyone that I've talked to has kind of touched on that too because of the COVID situation, right? You mentioned it, whether it's players that normally would have maybe gone into the MLB draft to players coming back because they have more eligibility. So maybe there's more depth, there's more pitching, there's, you know, another year for some of these hitters. And quite honestly, it's something that maybe not even being talked about too much, Brad. It hadn't been as taxing on a lot of these players, you know, and that's one of the storylines, unfortunately, you've seen a lot in the last couple of years. Injuries to pitchers. Well, there was no baseball being played, so you probably have as healthy a group all around the state as possible.
Absolutely. You know, Coach Rove, and I've seen, you know, I coached Andrew Stevenson in high school. And by the way, his little brother's coming, and he's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I've always paid attention, and I've sat and talked, because I was a pitching coach. I talked with Alan Dunn for 3 hours. Love Alan Dunn. By the way, the only time Alan Dunn ever raised his voice is when I used the word, I was talking about something about like playing catch and lobbing a ball. He hates that word. He's like, everything you do is you throw with a purpose. And he got excited when he talked about infielders lobbing during practice across the infield. Drives him nuts. I love Alan Dunn. And I listened to him, and I know that LSU doesn't let a lot of their guys go out and pitch in the summer to protect their arms, to keep them under control. Because I think the biggest mistake fans make is y'all had a string 2 years ago where guys coming in and they're hurt.
Yeah.
But your fans don't find out about it till February. Well, most of them are coming in hurt. Or they're coming in pitching a little bit, and then they're, you know, the damage is already there. But people are looking at LSU and Alan Dunn or Paul Maneri or, you know, whether it's Tony Robichaud or Matt Deggs and saying, oh, you know, what are y'all doing? Why are all these guys hurt? Well, they're coming in hurt, buddy. They're not, you know, they're not hurt here. And I agree. I think there's been a lot less stress. And I'm hoping, and what I'm seeing, by the way, outside of the hair flowing, I know Paul's relaxed his rules with y'all. Outside of the hair growing really well over COVID, I'm noticing a lot more leaner bodies. And I think guys have spent more, because they weren't throwing as much, I think they spent more time in the weight room trying to put on that manhood weight. And I think you're right. I think there is going to be maybe a lot less taxing approach on these kids.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, I think there's something to that. You know, I mean, at some point in time, it's just wear and tear, you know, but it's kind of the catch 22. Brad, you understand it, right? To be seen, to get known, to have clubs want you and stuff. You have to show what you got. And that means going and playing different leagues in the summer, in the fall, and then you're playing, you know, baseball, and then you're trying to win. So you know how competitive this is. Midweek games to weekends, man. Let's wrap up on this. What do you expect tonight? I'm expecting a fun game to watch, right? I mean, I know it's early, but you want to kind of see where these teams are, but being a midweek game, how do you think both coaches sort of approach it? How are the Cages going to approach it?
So I know we're going to throw Connor Cook. Connor is an interesting kid. Coach calls him the best athlete on our campus. And if you get a good look at physically, his legs, his like what he physically looks like, the kid's ripped. He could just as easily be a tailback, that kind of kid. And he is he's a drilling guy. He's going to throw hard. The question is, is he going to stay under control? He couldn't grip the ball against Tulane. I mean, no excuse. Other guys had to grip it, but you could see it. After every pitch, he's rubbing his hand and couldn't find it. I think this kid is more built as a closer because he has that mentality and that athleticism. But at the same time, some people project him as a starter. D1 put him as the number four prospect in our conference. So you're going to see him. What you're going to see, if he's a closer, he's 96. You're not going to see that, I don't think. I think you're going to see 92 to 94 with a slider. And then I think you're going to see a big bullpen game. We threw three guys last night that you won't see tonight. We threw Parrott, two lefties and a righty in relief, and you won't see those guys. I think it's a normal Wednesday game. You know, you don't want to overpitch with a weekend coming, and it's early in the season. So to be fair, I think you're going to see five out of Connor, and I think you're going to see a parade of arms. After that, I think you're going to see four or five arms come rolling out of that tent. And then my biggest concern and curiosity is how they approach the position players. You know, a transfer from LSU, C.J. Willis, he started first, moved to second base during the game. Last night he started at third. I'm not sure. That's one guy that's moved around. Not sure about him. And we got a couple guys fighting some early season injuries that coach doesn't want to push too hard. Right. And we'll just have to see about that. But so you may see some more bodies. We lost a guy, freak accident. You've seen bunts where guys got hit in the face. He swung the bat and got hit in the face by a foul ball. and broke his nose. Alec Haney had surgery, so he'll be out for, he'll be back next week. He'll be back pretty quick, but he had that surgery yesterday. Went well. He'll be right back at it. That's where that cage. So I think we'll see a few new bodies, but I think the biggest thing is you'll see a ton of arms. And I don't, knock on wood, to this point, TJ made an error. He's not our number one third baseman. He made one last night. Our shortstop and our main third baseman have not made an error yet. So it's been really good defense. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Should be fun. 6 p.m. over at the Teague, man. Thank you so much, Brad. We'll be touching base throughout the season to keep tabs on the cages if that's cool with you.
Anytime, brother. Anytime. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. All right, let's find out what's going on with the Tigers. Wilson Alexander will join us at the end of this break, and we'll see what to expect from the LSU's side. Next on ESPN New Orleans.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Sure, we can help you knock that oil change right off your list. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $29.99, plus a $10 bonus reward if you're an AutoZone Rewards member. Not a member? We can sign you up fast, right here in store or on AutoZone.com. Getting the job done just got easier. Terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Chrissy is refinancing her home, so she shopped around for the lowest rate and found it at Amerisave.com, setting her up for a lifetime of savings. It's one decision she'll never regret, unlike wearing tap shoes to a surprise party.
Sorry, guys. Just trying to find the perfect hiding place.
Pretty regrettable, Chrissy. Unlike finding that low mortgage rate at Amerisave.com that's got you on your way to a lifetime of savings. Amerisave's rates won't be this low forever, so go to Amerisave.com now. Lower mortgage rates mean higher savings. Call 866-514-SAVE or visit Amerisave.com/licensing for cost information, terms, and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all states except New York. NMLS number 1168.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
What are you pointing to? What is it? What is your problem?
No, nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
You're stalking Drew Brees, aren't you? You're trying to find anything possible to know if this is the week that
Saints
you're going to find out.
Saints just put out on social.
Okay. Anyway.
On Twitter. Saints on social 2021, February 18th through February 24th.
Okay.
And there's, what, 12 pictures.
Right.
Cam Jordan, cold weather, shenanigans.
Okay, get to the next picture. We have a guest. Let's go.
All right.
What
is it? It's Drew Brees and his kid at the World War II Museum.
Okay.
And his child has a Supreme backpack. That must have caught us a pretty penny.
You know what? You're done. Your mic is turned now. Let's get the LSU side of things here. Mr. Wilson Alexander joins us to talk a little LSU baseball. You can follow Wilson over on Twitter. WHAlexander_ is the way to follow him over there. Covers the Tigers for the Advocate and the PICU. And Wilson, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Yeah, you know. Got constantly trying to find any news on Drew. Still waiting on Drew. Talking Pell Zion, but also... I know it's early, but I don't know. I kind of get the sense and feeling this just kind of has the makings of a fun, early season, midweek matchup between the Cages and Tigers, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are two teams that haven't played each other in a couple of years now because, you know, everything happened with COVID last year. They didn't get to their midweek game last season before the season ended. So they haven't faced each other in a while, but obviously these are, you know, two of the bigger teams in the state in terms of college baseball, and so it should be a good game.
I was just talking with Brad Topham. He's a color analyst for the Cajuns, and I told him, I said, you know, maybe it's just me. I know there's more insight and baseball worthiness, but I like names. Carson Rocaforte is one of their top freshmen. And, of course, there's Dylan Cruz of the Tigers. All Dylan Cruz did in the opening three games is kind of show everybody why everyone is hyped up this freshman, huh?
Absolutely. He met, and Paul Menary said that he absolutely met their expectations, and he said he didn't know if he exceeded them because they're already pretty high for him. I mean, he goes 7 of 12, 3 RBIs, yeah, 2 home runs, 4 walks, and perhaps most impressively, he didn't strike out in the first three games at all. LSU had a couple, you know, at least I think everybody else in the lineup struck out at least once, as far as I can remember, and he didn't even seem to come close to it. He was constantly putting the ball in play. Didn't get many chances out in the outfield defensively to see what he could do, but I've seen him play well out there in practice before. And at the plate, he was just magnificent. I mean, it's clear that he's already LSU's best hitter.
It's interesting you say that because, again, speaking to Brad, he was like, look, I can't wait to see this kid. You can already see it. Like, apparently the eyeballs are telling you something, right? I mean, when you don't have to be, I guess, a Major League Baseball analyst or a scout to just sort of see that he's a bit different already, to the point where Paul Menary got a phone call from somebody that also probably stood out in his time at LSU that I thought was interesting, in Alex Bregman.
Absolutely, yeah. Bregman tried to FaceTime Menary on Monday night after they beat Louisiana Tech, and Menary was talking to us, so he missed the FaceTime call. But then he had a text from Bregman, Bregman was just texting him about, you know, Cruz, and was like, my goodness, you know, this guy can hit the ball to the opposite gap like that, because in that game against Louisiana Tech, as you probably saw, Cruz hits a 419-foot home run to the right center field. You know, that's really hard to do at any level, at any age, much less a freshman in their third game of their career. He's got this aura about him that, you know, Menary has noticed a lot that resembles, you know, Bregman, Duplantis, LeMahieu, some of the other great players in LSU history. It's a lot to put on a kid at this age, but so far he's playing that way. You hesitate, it's three games, but, I mean, everything you've seen so far is promising.
And you mentioned that, and especially those names like LeMahieu and Bregman. I mean, guys that had absolute immediate success at that next level and you know, have already shown that they belong there. But you just saw it, right? I mean, and that's just kind of one of those things where it's a no-brainer. You just see that, you already sort of feel like, okay, man, he's already above this level already. But that's over some games in the season, you got that. What's remarkable to me is that already Alex, again, though, he kind of knows that and is there, and they're seeing it already in just three games.
Yeah, they are. I mean, like we've said, he can do just about anything you want on a baseball field, it seems like. I mean, he's even has a history as a catcher, and so if LSU, if for some reason, needed an emergency catcher, he's the one who would go back there behind the plate. He hasn't been that in a few years, as I understand, but he can do just about everything, and we'll see how he can play, you know, once SEC games roll around. That's going to really be the true test, it seems like, is, you know, how does he go up against Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter, those guys throwing 99 miles an hour. He didn't face that kind of thing opening weekend. But, you know, it seems like he could probably handle it, but we'll see.
All right, so speaking with Wilson Alexander, covers the Tigers for the Picayune and the Advocate. So, look, obviously I is going to be on that matchup and really his start already in these games. But injuries is always one of those things that apparently – that you can never plan for and deal with. Now, when we had Paul Menary on last week on the show, he talked about it. He thought he had some depth here as well, but LSU starting center field is not going to be around for a little bit with a hamstring strain, huh?
Yeah, Giovanni Giacomo was chasing down a fly ball in shallow right center on Sunday and called off Cruz and fell as he, you know, caught it, strained his hamstring there. Seemed pretty bad. Like, he had to hobble off the field with his arm over to LSU's athletic trainer. So LSU's going to go with Mitchell Sanford. In center field right now, a sophomore. It'll also look at Will Stafford. He was actually going to start Monday, but then he got hurt in batting practice because he ran into Gavin Dugas as they both were going after a fly ball, and Stafford didn't call him off loud enough, and Stafford hurt his hip. So, but Stafford will get some time there once he's healthy. Sanford, they also maybe use Drew Bianco a little bit in center field, who's kind of maybe the best defensive one of them. And then we haven't even really, you know, mentioned Maurice Hampson, who's kind of curiously been on pretty far down on the bench, it seems like, right now. Even though he got some playing time last year as a freshman, you know, he could get, some time there in center field, but right now it's going to be Stanford, and then once he comes back, Stafford as well.
I know it's only three games, but Paul told us that he feels as confident about this pitching staff as he has in a while. What was your first impressions on seeing them?
It was interesting. Jaden Hill and Landon Marceau pitched great, as you would hope that they would.
Right.
A.J. Labus didn't pitch that great against Louisiana Tech. Now, Louisiana Tech's got a pretty good hitting ball club. I mean, they put up 18 runs against the Air Force the day before, but still, like, A.J. really kind of, he was throwing strikes. I mean, he had eight strikeouts, but he got hit around a little bit. Five straight hits to start an inning, including a solo home run and a triple when Louisiana Tech jumped up on LSU there pretty early in the game. And LSU thought that maybe Labus could go like six innings, and he only lasted, I guess, about into the fourth, didn't make it through the fourth inning. So that's kind of concerning, but it's just one start. So, you know, I mean, he's a veteran, but you want to see a little bit better out of him. The bullpen pitched pretty well for the most part, a little bit shaky. And then the ninth inning against Air Force on Sunday, but that sort of came from a freshman making his first appearance. And then a senior, Aaron George, I mean, he walked in a couple of runs, and he just can't do that. So that wasn't great to see that happen. But LSU wasn't using its best guys in that moment. And so I feel like they still can, you know, really rely on guys like Devin Fontenot. And they've got some depth there in the bullpen. It wasn't a sterling weekend, but it was okay so far. They had some bright spots.
Brad said the Cajuns plan of probably using a bunch of arms. They had to, play last night, so already some players are not going to be made available. How is Paul and LSU going to attack tonight?
Yeah, they'll have Garrett Edwards, the freshman, on the mound. Garrett, pitched one inning on Saturday, and it looked great. Two strikeouts, controlled his breaking ball. 10 of his 14 pitches were strikes, about a low 90s fastball. They expect him to go maybe as many as about five innings tonight, and they've got a pretty full bullpen behind him. Devin Fontenot has only made one appearance this season. They're All-American closer, and Will Helmers could make an appearance out of the bullpen. Like, they've got some arms there ready to go, even though they just played a couple days ago. But they'll start with Edwards.
Wilson, man, appreciate the time, and we'll be checking in with you throughout the season as we see how the Tigers do this year. Should be fun over at the Teague. First road game of the season for LSU. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be a good night.
Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks for having me on, Gus. You have a great day.
Yeah, for sure. At WHAlexander _ the way to follow Wilson Alexander over on Twitter. And, of course, follow his work over on The Advocate and on the Times-Picayune. Quick break where we come back. Jordan, any news?
No,
I'm not going to do this every segment.
No. Some news.
You have some news.
On how much the Supreme backpack costs.
Okay, let it go.
Both of Drew
Stop
Brees'
it. Let it go. Why are you worried about what Drew Brees' backpacks are worried about? Why are you worried about it?
I just want to know what could they possibly be carrying.
What does it matter?
Maybe it's the Saints contract.
What, are you going to start looking at my kids' pictures now to see how my kids dressed? You got problems. Don't you go worry about your video. Make sure it's
what
up
do you
to
mean
date.
My video? Uh-huh. It is up to date.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Invited to Greg LeBlanc Toyota's spectacular sales event going on now till the end of the month. Great selections of models and colors to choose from and deep discounts with huge incentives. This is the time to purchase your new Toyota Camry or Corolla. Exceptional MPG ratings and 2 years free maintenance. This is the event you've been waiting for. Visit our friendly staff at Homa's number one dealer. Go to Greg LeBlanc Toyota where you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota where you get the deal.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail business can do for you. And that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on for business.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Thank you.
Rotolo's Pizzeria is the proud sponsor of the Nichols State Coaches Show. Rotolo's Pizzeria uses only the freshest ingredients to make their pizza, calzones, salads, wings, and more. They make their original dough fresh every day, along with their homemade sauces and fresh veggies. Rotolo's is the home of the $6.99 calzone every Wednesday and happy hour Monday through Thursday, 11 to 6. All of us at Rotolo's want to thank you for the opportunity to serve you at our Houma and Thibodaux locations. Go Colonels!
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Give you the question of the day that we have out on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA. Pelicans fans, there's only 6 games left till the All-Star break for your New Orleans Pelicans. What is your expectation slash record in the next 6? Gus, you said 4-2. I say 3-3. Mm-hmm. And Rue over on Twitter says they'll be lucky to go 2-4.
Oh, 2-4. No, 2-4. No hope, huh?
You could comment or call in 800-998-1003.
Come on. 2-4?
It's got a point. I mean,
it's got a point. That's how you feel. It's got a point.
Before the Celtics game, Gus, there was 6.
You get down if they have a bad quarter.
Gus,
if they go 2-4 the next 6, you're going to be miserable.
I'm not downplaying what they did against the Boston Celtics. I think that was their best performance probably of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But before that win, if you go back and you look at the last 6 before that win against the Celtics, you lost against Phoenix. You lost against the Trailblazers, mm-hmm. one that a lot of people say you should have won if Zion Williamson touches the ball in mm-hmm. the final minute mm-hmm. of the game. You win against Memphis. You lose against Detroit, who you played.
What's the point you're trying to make?
Against the Mavericks, and you lose against the Bulls.
Okay, so what is
the point I'm trying to get at? What in there tells you that the Pelicans are going 4-2?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you just told me some of those games they could have won, right? You think the Bulls are going to knock down 25 threes again?
We said that. We said that the first time we played, and
okay, I get it.
We know what happened there.
All right. At some point, Utah's not. No, Utah. Okay. Same thing. Look, JD said it. You gave up 17 threes against Detroit. Miami. Remember that on Christmas Day. Again, 3-point shots hurt you. So the teams that in the next 6. That have hurt you, the 3 ball has gotten you. It's a very simple practice yesterday from the Pelicans, huh? Going into this next stretch before the All-Star break.
Been hurting you all season.
No, I understand that. I understand it. But don't you improve? Don't you get better? I mean, is Zion better from the start of the season? Is his team better from the start of the season?
Yes.
Is Lonzo better from the start of the season?
You'd hope so.
Okay. Well, no, I hope so. He is. He's playing better, isn't he?
He is.
Okay. So, J.J. Redick's actually making a shot. I mean, you improve, you get better. So what I'm saying is there's nothing in those 6 games that I'm looking at that you don't absolutely know what's coming.
I just don't like.
So you know how to handle it.
I don't like giving the Pelicans games.
They have to earn your trust. I understand
because,
that.
Because
I get that.
The same teams that you're playing in this upcoming 6 stretch are the same teams that you lost against in this previous 7-game stretch. And you can't really give it to them if they haven't shown that they can beat opponents that they should be beating.
That was the past, though.
And what's telling you that the future?
Remember Mark McGuire in front of Congress? I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to talk about the future. That's what I'm here to do. I can't do anything about
that. Wait a second. All your off-air advice completely just contradicted yourself.
What are you talking about? I can't do anything about the past.
All your advice
that
you
gave. All I can do is learn from it,
no,
but I can't do anything about it.
That's not what you told
me. Exactly what I'm saying is I can't do Skwadooski while giving up all of those threes to those teams previously. But I can know what's coming and try to stop it better.
Your advice is arguing with it. You gave me other advice off air, and now you're saying the complete opposite.
Did it have to do with basketball, though?
It's the same thing.
No, not at all.
Futures and
no. Well, yeah. I mean, you need to learn from the past to have a better future.
But the Pelicans, I don't learn.
But Jordan, going by your philosophy, then yes. When Drew Brees and Sean Payton arrived, why even bother? Right? The Saints have been nothing but losers. Why bother?
Well, no, I'm not saying why bother. I'm just saying why.
That's what you're telling
why
me.
Give, no, what
I
I'm saying
lost
is
to those
you
teams can't, already.
You can't just well, give it to them.
Say, I'm not giving it to
you
them.
You gave them four wins.
I'm setting. No, I said I want to see them go 4-2. That is my goal. I need to. I would like to see them go 4-2. I'm not saying they're going 4-2. I said I need to see them go 4-2 though. If you want to be a playoff team, you got to start playing better than 500 ball.
And I agree with that.
You have to start going 73-10, at the least 6-4 of your last 10. You have to. I mean, that's just simple math and equations and looking at the teams above you. The teams above you in the standings right now, they are playing that. If you look at the current standings in the NBA, that's what you're seeing. I went over it yesterday, right? Right now, the Jazz, first place, their last 10, 9-1. Clippers, 6-4. Lakers, 6-4. Suns, 9-1. Spurs, 7-3. Blazers, 6-4. That's your first six teams. Now, Team 7, Denver, 5-5. Team 8, Golden State, 5-5. The Mavericks, though, Luka, game winner, right? Everyone's just Luka.
Wait.
Luka legend.
Wait. Remember a few weeks ago?
Yes, he was terrible. I understand. Is it time to move on from Luka in Dallas?
Remember, I was still considering.
Hey, wait a minute. You give me credit. That's a pat on my back. Because remember, I started the show that day. I'm like, what is? Stop it, y'all. Stop it. I mean, really. Mike Greenberg has a promo running. Luka Doncic is better than everybody in the world. All of that stuff, right? And then literally, the season starts. Maybe it's time to consider. Who consider what? How do you go from
not the
he's
guy.
The future of the NBA to, well, you know, it's a slow start. Maybe they need to trade him.
Now, greatest of all time.
Oh, Luka legend. At SportsCenter on Twitter, they're calling him Luka legend. He had a game winner.
I've seen it.
Hey, congratulations.
I mean, it's an impressive achievement.
I get it. My point is Dallas 7-3, right? And now here's below them. Memphis 4-6, Pels 5-5, Kings 2-8 of their last 10, Thunder 3-7, Rockets and T-Wolves 1-9. Did you see the difference there? Did you pick up the difference? There's a clear line of the teams that are going to be in the playoffs or playoff mount. They're all 500 or above. And guess what? The teams that are heading seller-wise are what? Below 500. 10 games is a lot of stretch. It's a lot of games, a couple of weeks, things of that nature. Right? So I'm just saying here, I mean, it's in front of you. You're looking at it. Six games. And when I look at the schedule, I mean, Detroit has 9 wins. You have 13. Milwaukee. You actually beat them. Now, you had to play really well, and you almost blew it there at the end. And Giannis has been playing really well. It's going to be a tough game at Milwaukee. San Antonio. One of the meetings was postponed. You beat them in the other one. Again, Utah right now is firepower. You got to have to find a way to keep them from scoring. Good luck. It's hard. Thankfully, it's not on a back-to-back.
Wait a second. You're saying the Pelicans are going to win 4 games, and every team you just brought up, you're basically saying good luck.
No, Utah, good luck.
I don't know. The past, like, 4 teams you were saying,
no,
like,
I mean,
good
Milwaukee,
luck.
Milwaukee's a good team.
On fire.
I mean, I'm not going to sit there and
this team, San Antonio.
You think they're going to go back up by 30 on Milwaukee? Do you think they're going to go by 30 again on Milwaukee? Come on, let's be honest.
Then maybe you should rearrange
your sat there
record.
And checked if your little tea that mom gave you actually had any spiked something in it. Because you're like, they're up by how many on Milwaukee? Come on, you were shocked.
And what was the score at the end of that game?
Well, okay, I get it. But Milwaukee's good. That's why they came back. I'm not buying. Look, you can tell me all you want about Chicago. They're not knocking down 25 threes again.
Okay.
And Miami's had a disappointing season this year.
I'm clipping that.
What?
Because if they hit 20 plus threes,
they're not hitting 25
I'm playing
threes.
That
they're not hitting 25 threes. They're not. I'm telling you they're not.
You better hope they don't
they're
hit more
not.
Than 20.
They're not.
You better hope.
What do you want to bet?
You better
large
hope.
Large size snowball for you?
No.
Not, some crawfish?
Nope,
what do you want to bet?
I'm not betting
they're
anything.
Not hitting 25.
I'm just clipping this soundbite, and if it happens, I'm playing it.
While it's happened twice this season, I mean, it's out of the ordinary. Again, it was historical. It was the most the Bulls have ever done.
Not against the Pelicans.
But it was the only time in Chicago Bull basketball history it happened. It's not going to happen twice in a month.
It's not?
No.
Okay. Clipping it.
I'm telling you, it's impossible.
Clipping it.
It's not happening.
It's impossible, right?
Yes. And Miami shot all their threes because you know what? Since then, they haven't won anything.
Bounce back.
I think they go 4-2. I think I want to see them go 4-2. They need to. Van Gundy needs to go write that on a dry eraser board. We better find 4 wins in the next 6 games if we want to be a playoff team. Why are you shaking your head? What are you writing?
I'm just writing down the record.
What are you writing?
It's just you're 4-2.
I'm 4-2. I said it. It's on Twitter. You don't have to write it.
I'm just putting
it's right there.
I like having the sticky note.
Steven Adams, are we going to see him in any of these 6 games, including tonight? Stan Van Gundy yesterday after practice with an update.
Practice today. We didn't do anything full court. We stayed in the half court, but he did practice today. Did about a split the reps with Billy. So we'll just have to see, you know, how he feels tomorrow, and we'll go from there.
Double-digit leads, Jordan. Some of those games that you were talking about, they struggled in some of those and holding them. That's something that's going to be key, not only before the All-Star break, but after. Stan Van Gundy.
Well, and it's true across the NBA. I know we've had, in the last 2 games, 2 of the most, you know, the biggest changes. But, you know, Phoenix, before they played us, had the, what, 24-point lead against Brooklyn and lost. I mean, every night there's one of those somewhere. Somebody's up 16 or 18. I mean, a lot of it's the, you know, the prevalence of the 3-point shot. Comebacks are coming quicker and the whole thing. And so, and both ways, you know, you shoot so many threes that if you're missing and the other team's making, it changes quickly. And I think the lesson that we have to learn just from the last 2 games is you literally got to keep playing for 48 minutes.
There it is, Jordan. You got to play the entire game.
Thought.
How about that?
Who would have thought?
The entire game, baby. You just don't know. Hour 2 is in the books where you come back. Daniel Salerson is about to get busy. In 2 minutes, the NBA will drop the NBA schedule. He's going to look it over. And in 22 minutes, we'll go to him and we'll look at what the second half of that schedule is. Because right now, on the schedule page, all I see is Thursday, March 4th, Miami. Apparently no games after that. No, there is. We just don't know what they are. So we'll take a peek at it and dissect it. Next hour, it's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.